Now,
the rest of the story. Charles Fiske made pipe organs for churches and universities. He has been called the most influential American organ builder of the 20th century. A man of rare good fortune in that he did for money what he would gladly have done for nothing. His profession was the pursuit of his dreams, and to this he owed a nightmare. For this is the rest of the story. Charles Fiske grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. His teenage reputation was that of an electronics wizard. He was building tube amplifiers before there was such a term as high fidelity. Later, Charles would attend Harvard and Stanford. It was at Stanford where he realized that he could no longer cope with the nightmare, and where he decided upon the career for which he is now famous. In 1954, he left the university to apprentice under renowned organ maker Walter Holt Kemp. And within 18 months, Fiske had earned a partnership in the Andover Organ Company. By 1959, he owned that company. And by 1962, he had moved to Gloucester, Massachusetts, as C.B. Fiske Incorporated. Long before, Charles had abandoned the electronic wizardry which had made him the talk of the town in his teen years. Indeed, there was something decidedly anti-technological in the Charles Fiske approach to organ making. First, all Fiske organs were tracker organs. No electronics, none at all. Just woods and rods and wires, as you might discover in a pipe organ centuries old. And Charles even quarreled with that one lonesome 20th century touch found in modern trackers, the electric blower motor. Now, he understood nobody wanted to stand around in the church basement pumping organ bellows nowadays, but he also understood that the organs of old rendered a slightly irregular, warbling sound, the result of those hand-pumped bellows, and Charles said the organ must become more than the machine that it is. It must seem alive. And so, in 1968, he proposed that the barely perceptible warble of days gone by be restored to the tracker organ, that the modern super-consistent electric blowers and wind supply regulators not be allowed to smudge the beauty, what he considered the natural grace of the past. Fiske's proposal was vigorously denounced by his colleagues at the time. It would take him a decade to see things his way. But the point is that Charles Fiske was a proud reactionary. He devoted his life to showing us why not all that we call progress is progress. With loving hands, Charles Fiske fashioned the charm of a thousand yesterdays from the same materials that had been used by our ancestors. Charles Fiske was a purist artist who invited only peace and beauty into his world and into ours, as though purposely, how shall I say this now, as though purposely diverting his gaze, and maybe ours, from some terrible vision, as though attempting to atone for a past unpardonable sin. For there was a private nightmare in the life of Charles Fiske. It happened before Stanford, before Harvard, when the slender brown-haired boy genius in electronics was sent to Chicago to work on the top-secret Manhattan Project, and then at the age of 20, to the laboratories of Los Alamos, New Mexico, where he spent the remainder of World War II, and where the same hands, lovingly, repentantly fashioning instruments of sonic glory and spiritual peace, where those hands once created instruments of terror and destruction. You see, it was organ builder Charles Fiske who, before turning from a brilliant career in electronics and nuclear physics, it was that same Charles Fiske who helped to devise the detonators for the world's first atomic bombs. And now you know the rest of the story.